All right, ladies and gentlemen, call back to order the Clackamas County Board of Commissioners in a policy session. Mr. Krupp.
Yes, good morning, Commissioners. This is a little bit different than our normal policy sessions. This is really kind of a roll-up-your-sleeves work session regarding the subject of employment land needs. And I'm going to invite Mr. Dan Chandler to give you a report presentation and then invite him to introduce our other participants here. So, Mr. Chandler.
Thank you. As Mr. Krupp said, we're here to talk about issues related to the county's employment land need and potentially to develop some background or even a potential ask that the county might make of Metro, the legislature, and or our other government partners. With me is Martha Fritzy, senior planner from the Planning Department. Martha did the mapping that you see up there at the side of the room and also the maps that you saw in the individual sessions we had with each of you. She's done a great job. Also is Kirsten Green from Cogan Owens. I'm here to help facilitate the discussion after we talk about the context and the individual pieces of property. The board will recall this is step four of a four-step process the board agreed to in May to talk about our land need. The first step was we'd identify and reconcile the amount of land that we needed to meet our non-retail employment land need. The second step was to talk about the nature of that need, which is a mix of a wide variety of things. Clackamas County has a very diverse economy, includes large lot industrial, business and professional services, advanced metals, many other things. Step three was to meet with each of you individually with these maps, go over them with you, find out whether there was more information than any of the commissioners needed for themselves or other information they would like their colleagues to have in advance of making this decision. To provide a little context here, it's the order of events today is I'm going to provide some context and background. Martha Fritzy is going to talk about the summarize the areas of land. We talked with each of you about them individually a bit ago. She's going to summarize those. And then Kirsten's going to help facilitate the discussion about the various areas and how we might move through a discussion of our land need. I guess we'll start with the board's goal, which they adopted 11 months ago. By 2020, Clackamas County will have and maintain a 20-year supply of serviceable non-retail employment land in the urban growth boundary. That was in the context of the area of focus of building a thriving economy. You recall there were other goals related to wages, land available in a six-year readiness time window. I want to talk about roles, though, a little bit. So the county here does reserves. That's really our role in the process. The urban growth boundary itself is really done by Metro and the cities. Under the current rules, anyway, and current IGAs, any city or any UGB expansion has to be preceded by a concept plan that has to include provisions for city governance. So again, we do reserves. The cities and Metro do the UGB. The reserves, the urban reserves, are intended to provide a 50-year supply of land from which the region can draw land into the UGB. As part of the deal that was made in Senate Bill 1011 in 2007, there also had to be designated rural reserves, which were intended to be lands. The best ag lands were to be protected also for 50 years. So there are 50 years of urban land, 50 years of rural land. How will it play out? You know, we don't really know. On designated land, just to sort of clear up the confusion, undesignated land is just land that the county didn't put in a rural reserve and Metro didn't put in an urban reserve. So there was no designation of undesignated. It's just land that didn't get put in either category. The UGB, Metro amends the UGB on a six-year cycle now. It used to be 5 years. It sounds like with the current urban growth report, urban growth management decision, they may start now on a 2 or 3 year cycle for the next round. But by law, they're required every 5 years and now 6 years to provide a 20-year supply of land for housing. There's some question about who's actually responsible for providing land for employment. Metro manages the boundary, but Goal 9, there's some argument about who's responsible for meeting our economic development goals. Metro says it's not, says it's with the cities and the counties, but yet Metro controls the boundary. The Metro, as the board knows, the urban growth management decision cycle starts with a forecast of population and employment needs. And if necessary, they adjust the boundary to meet the forecasted needs. That's called the urban growth report. It's a study. The decision is called the urban growth management decision. Metro looks at land need on a regional basis. And since 2005, they can't consider a sub-regional need without first considering the regional context. So unless they find an overall regional need for land, for housing, or employment, they can't amend the UGB to meet a purely sub-regional need. So adequate land in Forest Grove, for example, might mean that Metro can't expand the UGB to meet a local need for a city like Wilsonville or a county like Clackamas County. Nonetheless, clearly we believe it's important for Clackamas County to maintain an adequate supply of employment land. We need to balance jobs and housing so we don't overburden the transportation system. We need to continue to increase our assessed value. That's how we provide public services, public safety, take care of our vulnerable citizens. And obviously, an adequate land supply is a key element in providing jobs, and the benefits of which are really too numerous to mention. Obviously, less demand for services. Families are doing better. They're not tipping over. So after the board adopted the goal, we did a land needs study. We commissioned Johnson Economics and Group McKenzie to do our non-retail land demand forecast. The study, interestingly, found that the overall acres of land needed were very close to what Metro had forecast in the urban growth report. It's been criticized as being aspirational. It's not really true. The overall amount of land was very close to what Metro forecasted. However, it was broken out very differently. What the Johnson study did was look at how Clackamas County industries would fare specifically. Metro looked at how, for example, advanced metals manufacturing would fare regionally, and they made some predictions. The Johnson study looked at the specific businesses in Clackamas County, who their customers were, what was their ecosystem, and how they would do. The best example of that was in the news recently. Metro forecast that primary and fabricated metals manufacturing industry in the region would decline between 0.5% and 1.5% a year. Johnson forecast that it would grow at 2% a year because of the specific customers and the specific industries that our metals manufacturing industry served. Warren Buffett just bet $37 billion on our side of the table on precision cast parts. So maybe he read the Johnson study. I don't know. But anyway, clearly our businesses, our industries may fare differently than those in the region generally. And that's what the Johnson study did. It wasn't aspirational. It wasn't aimed at a particular goal. It was a straight-up evaluation of our land need. There are two key issues here in this ask. One is, we tried to answer the question, do we have enough land in our urban reserves to meet this 20-year land need? The urban reserves are intended to provide for a 50-year land supply, but we first wanted to look, do we even have enough to meet 20 years? And we'll talk about that specifically. I'll let Martha and Kirsten talk about that. Then the second question really that's on the table is, are our urban reserves and rural reserves configured in a way that will provide us with a 50-year supply of land? So there are two separate but related questions. But we felt that the most important thing was to see whether we had enough land to even meet our 20-year need first. I think with that, I'm going to turn it over to Martha, who's going to talk about the specific areas of land, and then I'll come back and just talk a little bit about some more process issues and some options on the table before I hand it over to Kirsten.
Okay, before she starts, Paul, I just want to clarify. I think I know the answer, but I think it's important that we all at least be cognizant of that this morning. The rural designation and the undesignated designations are, for the most part, our responsibility, and much less so Metro's, correct?
The rural reserves are designated by the county. In order to designate either urban or rural reserves, there has to first be an intergovernmental agreement between Metro and each county as to what those reserves would be. But formally, Metro designates urban reserves. We designate rural reserves. Undesignated land is just land that didn't get designated by either one of those two bodies.
Right. So in essence, the opposite way to pose the question is that, and you kind of stated it, it's Metro's responsibility is urban reserves. Correct? Of all the designations of the three, even though undesignated is not a designation, as you say, but of the three options of a piece of land being one of the three, Metro's responsibility is an urban reserve more so than the other two.
That's correct, because Metro manages the UGB. But the way the rules are, the way the rules and the statute are set up, by requiring an urban intergovernmental agreement between the two parties that specifies both, it's almost equal. I mean, the responsibilities are almost equal. Although formally, again, Metro designates urban, the county designates rural.
But we would need, whatever we decide to designate, we need the concurrence of Metro regardless of all three, right?
Correct. And I'll talk about that process in a little bit. So any changes to either urban or rural reserves would require a new intergovernmental agreement between the county and Metro.
Okay. Martha?
Let's see if I can figure out this works. Is it on?
Oh, hold on for a second.
So while she's working to get that on, but right now you could say that there are no urban and rural reserves in Clackamas County.
Correct.
I'm sorry, I missed the question.
I said, so right now you can just say there are no urban or rural reserves in Clackamas County. Because it hasn't been
confirmed.
Correct. Although we have designated rural reserves in our own comprehensive plan, it's all been remanded. I would say it is uncharted territory, but fair to say that there are neither today.
So it's really all undesignated.
Sure.
Basic term, I would agree. It kind of took me aback. Well, I guess so.
One could argue that. On the other hand, one could argue, well, the county has gone ahead and designated rural reserves and put it in its comprehensive plan and zoning regulations, so those remain as rural.
Unless Metro agrees to that, they're still undesignated.
Right.
So just building on that a little bit, Jim's, if nothing's designated, then the rule in here, I forgot where it's cited, about changing it from one designation to another, that rule doesn't take effect, or that's not a factor until it's approved, because everything right now is a clean piece of paper. There are no designations, recognized designations.
Well, the IGA takes precedence, is still in force in effect.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, which is it?
It's fair to say that if the county and Metro were to end up at loggerheads and there were no new revised findings or no new joint submittal back to the Land Conservation Development Commission, there would be no reserves in Clackamas County.
Which means that we would go back to the old system.
The region would have to apply the old system. Which is an interesting situation because, recall, the reserves are simply setting up a new category in the priority scheme, right? There's always been a priority scheme that said you bring exception land in first. That's why Damascus came in. Farmland last, and then when you go to farmland, you do it by soil type. This is the hierarchy. The new thing in the hierarchy, of course, are urban reserves, which are the first things to be brought in. Because of the grand bargain, Washington County has urban reserves. So there are urban reserves in the Metro area that are available. It's an open question whether Metro would even have the authority to go to exception land in Clackamas County if there were urban reserves available in Washington County. I got to say, much of this is uncharted territory.
Well, I think it's really important that we understand that clearly.
Sure.
So I'm going to go back to your page 3 of your staff report. It says right there, changes to reserves, and it's underlined. And so I'm just going to just test the water so I have a better understanding. So this, it starts out, any changes to the urban rural reserves would necessitate a lengthy and involved process and would involve at least the following, so on and so forth. So it's fair to say that I could change that to read any changes to the urban and rural reserves agreement or urban reserves map or designations, because they're really not reserves, right? I'm splitting hairs, but I just want to, because they're technically not reserves, but they are on the map. They are designated on the map, and they are our proposal or of 2009 that the board approved.
The answer really is any changes to the IGA. It's not the changes to the urban or rural reserves.
But the word reserves by itself is kind of misleading, so it opens really that up to, is it the map, is it the IGA, whichever it may be. I need clarity on what these... four and five repeated there. So actually you have seven bulleted items there. You have two fours and two fives on your page there. But so that's to the IGA, the agreed upon, or that map as it sits today.
Correct. Correct. The another way to say this is that we have an IGA, which is a necessary precedent to having reserves. The IGA is still valid. So if we were to agree that we're not going to make any changes to the maps, and what we're going to do is adopt revised findings in response to the remand, we would not need to go through steps 1 through 7. We would instead just come up with a process, an ordinance, a public hearing or two, and adopt revised findings. So that's sort of one path that would not involve a change and would not involve 1 through 7. Anything that would change the map would then necessitate this new process.
We should probably go on with the presentation here, because we can talk this, and maybe this will generate even more questions or clarification needs. So, Martha.
Well, this was part of the, I would say, pardon me, Chair, this was part of the, we were going to discuss this after that.
Yeah, I was hoping so.
It's on that.
Okay. After. Yes, Martha.
Hi, good morning. I'm going to get up because I'm going to be pointing at these maps. And I realize they're a little bit hard to see from where you're sitting, but there are copies of most of these maps in 11 by 17 in your packet that was on your desk. So I'm going to go through the areas that we looked at very quickly, because as Dan mentioned, we already had individual meetings with each of you to go through these maps in detail. There's also a table included at the very front page of your packet, and I'm actually going to go through these areas in order that they appear on that table, which is slightly different than over here. We can get to that. So the first thing that we looked at to identify areas to provide additional employment or employment land were actually inside the urban growth boundary. And the thought was, well, over the next 20 years, by far the easiest things to serve, the easiest changes to make would be inside the urban growth boundary. There were two areas that we looked at. As you're aware, up in North Milwaukee, up here, there is a study that's proposed to look at the North Milwaukee industrial area with the intent of intensifying employment in that area. And if you recall, the Johnson Report did a forecast for employment, which then translated to land need. It's really the employment that we need. The land is to support the additional employment. So to the extent that North Milwaukee is successful and can increase employment, just on a conservative estimate based on some preliminary information in the grant application, that would equate to roughly the equivalent of 300 acres of land that would no longer be needed because of the increased employment in the area. That's based on employment densities that were used in the Johnson Report. So in other words, at the last study session, the board agreed that there was a need to provide 1,100 more acres of land for the additional employment. To the extent that we can intensify employment in North Milwaukee, it could potentially reduce that need for it by up to 300 acres. And that's inside the UGB. That's a study that hopefully will be happening with the City of Milwaukee and our county economic development folks in the near future. The second area that we went to look at is Damascus. There's two small areas in Damascus. The reason we looked at Damascus was on this map here, which is a little complicated. It's map 3 in your packet. There were a couple of areas that are adjacent to the City of Happy Valley that at this point in time we are assuming are going to be going into the City of Happy Valley. They're adjacent to areas that Happy Valley has already planned for employment. When Damascus did some planning, this area was designated as residential, and therefore it was not counted in the supply of land that was used for calculation, the demand and supply, to identify the need gap. And in this area, and a little area down south, south of like the Windswept Waters area down toward Carver, but not in Carver, I don't believe, there's between 350 to 400 acres of additional land that could reasonably be considered employment land inside the City of Damascus. And we've had some conversations with the City of Happy Valley, who seem pretty supportive of this idea, with the understanding, again, that there's a large portion of the western side of Damascus that will probably, in the foreseeable future, end up in the City of Happy Valley. So those are two areas, A and B, on your table that were identified inside the Urban Growth Boundary. The next place that we looked was outside the Urban Growth Boundary in the existing urban reserves. So in the existing urban reserves, doing rough calculations of billable land, this is not a detailed billable land inventory, the rough calculations of acreages first took out any actual constrained land, floodway, the regulated floodplain, steep slopes over 25%, regulated stream buffers. The resulting acreages that you see in these various areas account for subtract that land, which is sort of your first step in the land inventory. It does not go farther to take a look at existing development necessarily. There's rural development in all of these areas. It's not expected to be very intensive. So these are rough numbers, and these are sort of gross numbers. So the first one we looked at is in the Stafford-Borland area. There's been a lot of conversation over the last many years about this area. It's also over here in Slough C. There is, based on several other studies that have been done for this area, there's an estimated 260 acres of buildable land that... The understanding is that land, there are a couple of large parcels in that area, but given access, topography, adjacent uses, it's understood that that land would probably be more suited for like a cruiseway-type development, Class A office, light industrial, R&D, that sort of development. So that's about 260 acres up here. The next area, Area D, is outside of Oregon City. You see there's quite a few reserve areas outside of Oregon City. This area down here, which is adjacent to the Beaver Creek Concept Plan area in Oregon City, is really the only area that would likely have employment land suitability. The rest of this would probably be largely residential. The Beaver Creek Concept Plan area does have a fairly large employment area plan. Just looking at the land outside of it that would perhaps logically connect, we found maybe 60 to 70 acres. It's not a whole lot up in that area. Down in that area. Over here, outside of Wilsonville, again, there's several reserves. Wilsonville is actively planning this area here to the northeast. It's going to be largely residential. So these areas here were not looked at as potential employment land because they wouldn't logically be planned as that. There are some large parcels up here northwest of Wilsonville that amount to about 125 acres. The city has indicated that it's being looked at as one of two things. It could be looked at as an extension of the Coffee Creek employment area or as an extension of the Bois, which would largely be residential. So this 125 acres, you know, could be an option. Certainly it's not, it's something that's feasible and something that Wilsonville may be amenable to. So other urban reserves that we looked at were not included in the table because they weren't determined to be areas that could logically provide employment land within the 20-year time frame that we're looking at to provide the 1,100 acres. That would include this area over in here. After conversations with Washington County, who is working on a study with Wilsonville and Tualatin, the assumption is there will be mostly residential land, at least at this point, on this side of the border in those urban reserves. So I don't believe that this would be a logical choice to provide employment land, certainly not within the next 20 years. And then again, looking out in here, when you look at the parts of Damascus that we are assuming could develop within 20 years, it's only the western portion. The eastern portion is not expected to develop within the 20-year time frame. So it's not really reasonable to expect that this would all would develop within the 20-year time frame either. So there would potentially be more employment lands out here, but this is not considered on the table to provide land for the 20-year need. And again, I'm going through this really fast. I'm happy to answer questions afterward, but that kind of clears up our urban reserves. There were a couple of other areas that we looked at. When you look at the map and the constraints, looking at some large parcels, a couple of areas do jump out at you. And again, this would be probably on the back side of your table. The areas that we're calling satellite areas are important because they provide options that may require changes to the reserves maps, but may not be, they may be changes that are doable, they may not be as controversial. The first satellite area is area F over here, B, C, D, E, F, east of Canby. And this is sort of, this is a little bit of a different conversation. If you recall, the demand analysis that Johnson did was really for the Metro Urban Growth Boundary. The need that we found was for the Metro Urban Growth Boundary. But when you look at the map, there is some very good employment land, or potentially good employment land, east of Canby, adjacent to their employment area. And to the extent that we could, that the county could support Canby in helping develop this land, it could alleviate some of the pressure and be in the Metro Urban Growth Boundary, even though Canby is in charge of their own UGB. They have their own analysis that they need to do. And they do not have any urban reserves, but they cannot go into the rural reserve areas. So if there is a way to provide them with a little bit more land for potential expansions east of the city, again, it could provide some good employment land for the county that would alleviate some of the pressure to put all the Metro EGB if we can't find sufficient land up in there. So that's area F. To expand this a little bit larger, it would require a change to the rural reserves. There's about just under 400 acres in this area that is not in the reserve. You could identify, the city has indicated that they would be interested potentially in about the same amount for a total of around 800 acres east of Canby. So you could potentially change the rural reserve over there to provide a few more large parcels, but then continue to provide this buffer between Canby and the rest of the farmland.
Martha to Martha?
Yeah, so Martha, where about, can you just point out on that map where their industrial area is now?
Their industrial area is
so they, it's kind of north, isn't it?
Some of this is not inside of
okay.
the city yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, their industrial area is down in here.
Mm-hmm. So they've already got an expansion area there, I know, with a number
yes.
of businesses.
Okay. It's about 400 acres they can expand into, okay. perhaps a little bit less than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's 150 acres inside their UGB right. that they have right now, and 150 outside for a total of 300
acres. So that's Canby, which again, it's a little bit more nuanced, right. a little bit different conversation, but we thought it was important to identify because when you look at the map, when you look at all of the constraints on the map, there really are a lot of constraints in Clackamas County, and there's potentially some good land over here. Moving on to Area G, which falls under the satellite. Falls under the satellite area changes because if what was being considered was a change from rural reserve to undesignated, not necessarily to an urban reserve for Metro. The Springwater Road area, again, has some large flat parcels out in here. If you look at the map, it's up in, it's down in here. There's been some interest in this area. It's been discussed. The Economic Development Commission discussed this area when they were discussing employment lands about a year ago. There are some large flat parcels. There's as much as 1,500 acres out here. This area has a lot of potential constraints in terms of access infrastructure. The Carver Bridge, being one of the biggest constraints, is right about here. It really currently provides the only access from the urban area. So this area is certainly interesting. There are, like I said, some large flat parcels. In terms of timing, again, you've got the issues at the Carver Bridge, there's Happy Valley, Damascus, whatever's going on up in here. I'm not sure it's reasonable to assume that this could develop within a 20-year time frame either, similar with these areas east of Damascus, but it's certainly an area that we're interested in looking at.
Martha, while you're there, could you have an idea? You mentioned an error in the staff report that some of those were Metro-owned.
Yes.
Do you have any idea where? Could you just point, if you have an idea, where or which properties that Metro owns?
Well, I have it on a map.
Some of it's along the Clackamas River there, I believe.
I know there's some along the Clackamas River that actually wasn't included in the area that I mapped. I sort of pulled the corridor out just in this rural reserve. Metro owns some land over here, and it was about 150 acres that was inside our area.
Is that the elephant land?
That I wouldn't know.
You mean water buffalo?
No, ducks out.
Oh, no, I meant Metro was going to have to raise elephants.
Oh, that was somewhere else.
That was a lot we were doing. I'll have to find it, but it was over in this side of the area. There's about 150 acres that were inside the area, that the quarter that I mapped, and a couple hundred that were outside of the area.
Right. I know when the EDC discussed this, and I've been out there to look from the windshield perspective, that a lot of the properties that were closer to the Carver Bridge along Springwater Road were either for sale or had a lot of rock in the ground as opposed to being farmable land. So, and your circle is a little bit south of, quite a bit south, the circle you drew. So the area where the Springwater Road kind of makes a right-hand turn, so to speak, or veers right, I think the emphasis was from that area where it goes right back up to the Carver Bridge as being the target area.
Sort of nice
yeah,
area.
Yeah, that it would go from there to the car, yeah, as opposed to even farther south or even near the Metro property.
Okay. So I did include that land. There are some smaller parcels down in there. There's also some pretty steep slopes, so some of that acreage probably came out in the calculation. The larger pieces up here were included in the calculation. But yeah, about 150 acres that I included in that calculation, the 1,500 is metro land. Then moving on to H on your list, this would require a change to the urban rural reserves map, which Dan will go through the process again after I finish talking. South of Wilsonville, also known as French Prairie, when you look at the constraints in the area, there's a large floodplain to the east. There's the river and some steep slope and floodplain to the west. If you encompass the area in between those, it's about 1,800 acres. There are some large flat parcels in that area, including a golf course, a large county-owned property, the OSU Extension, some privately owned property, some farms, some property not being farmed. It's all right along I-5. There is the potential, certainly, for some good employment land down there. There are questions. There's an unwillingness from the city of Wilsonville to serve it, and there are questions about how easily that could be served over the Boone Bridge, there perhaps is some disagreement among the parties who... Mm-hmm. about how easily that could actually happen. So, I mean, we've all had a lot of conversations about this property down here. Again, this would be certainly a controversial change to the map. There are a lot of parties interested in not seeing that happen. And then finally, the last area that I looked at outside the urban growth boundary was this area southeast of Oregon City. I just looked at it because it's undesignated, and there are a few large parcels down in here. If you go out Beaver Creek or maybe out 213 to this undesignated area, you can find 400 or more acres out there. May possibly could be an extension of Oregon City's employment areas up in here. There is, again, potentially a lot of controversy in this area because you're getting close to the Beaver Creek Hamlet. There's a lot of mixed feelings about whether or not this area should be developed. But it is currently in an undesignated that would have to change to an urban reserve if we were going to look at it as being able to provide employment land within the 20-year time frame. The city of Oregon City also has some well-known issues with having some trouble annexing properties because of the voter approved annexation. A lot of this Beaver Creek concept plan area has not actually been annexed into the city yet. So there are some potential issues with going this direction as well. I was going to try to do a little bit faster, but my sort of quick summary of the map.
John.
Basically, from A through I, sort of the easier, less controversial pieces to the bigger, more controversial requiring changes to the urban rural reserves map in that order.
Tootie.
Martha, thank you for the good work you've done on these maps. I think it helps us a lot in determining what's available. I think for the proposal today, and I'm going to save my comments to later, there's a lot of assumptions being brought forward with the proposal today, and I'm going to save my comments on that as we finish with the presentation. But thank you. I just want to acknowledge your work on this.
Paul?
So, Martha, you think you understand the lay of the land there pretty well. Is there anything on the current designations on the map there that's, you know, that's urban reserve, for example? Is there anything there that we know we can actually ask to be brought in with a willing city, willing governance? I mean, what's the first thing we can pick off there right now and say, add this because we're short on large lot industrial? What's on that map that we can use today?
Damascus.
Well, certainly the pieces inside the urban growth boundary. Wilsonville has proved to be a pretty willing city. Right now they're focusing on planning this area, but they certainly are interested in developing employment lands. Right now a lot of them are on this side of the Washington County line.
Right, I thought those areas were housing for the most part, those blue areas.
They are working on that, but okay. I would think potentially they'd be willing to work on that if, at some point.
Okay.
They're willing. I don't know the time frame. And there's continually conversations about the Stafford area. Obviously, the three cities are not willing, and we are working on it. We're having a conversation with them related to the remand, I believe. Possibly. I think there's a common understanding that if anything is going to happen in this area, that this Portland area would probably be the first one to know.
Jim?
Well, one important thing that is lacking from this chart is access to infrastructure, sewer, water, for one. And I don't know if you've been driving the freeways lately. Transportation's the other. So I think that one of the things that, you know, North Milwaukee, Damascus, Happy Valley, that piece near that area, and Oregon City and Wilsonville, there are possibilities because there is some potential access to all those things. But one of the things that Dan actually mentioned was balance of jobs and housing. And that the important thing that I think all of us know is that driving to Wilsonville from Oregon City or anywhere other than Wilsonville itself means you have to drive on a freeway and you have to go across some bridges. And so there are a lot of opportunities in Clackamas County to look at areas where there is adequate sewer water infrastructure, but I would say that generally speaking, you could say there is no area in Clackamas County where there's adequate transportation.
I disagree with that, Jim. I think that's a very broad statement.
Well, of course it is, but I'm speaking, and, you know. But, you know, so I think that the map, one of the problems I think is what we're talking about is doesn't actually exist, and that's reserves, because they don't actually exist yet. And those are the problems that we need to address and move forward on all those other things. I mean, voter annexation in Oregon City is a huge problem. That piece of land that's a little southeast, there's a big gap in between that so far the voters haven't agreed to annex. Voter annexation is another problem. Third issue is that, you know, frankly, Clackamas County does not just represent this area. We represent the whole county. And we don't focus on enough, I think, those areas outside the metro region. And I know we're trying to address employment lands near the metro region, but we also have other communities that are trying to develop their employment land. And we are trying to work with Estacada and other communities to try and help. But we've got a long way to go, and we need to really get going and really start focusing on other areas. McLaughlin Boulevard's another area that has great opportunity, full of parking lots where they're selling cars, and we are just totally ignoring McLaughlin Boulevard. And so I just think, and 212, I drove through that this weekend at least twice, kind of checking out our CAPS Road project, see how it's going. And there's actually some development going on in other areas behind Fred Meyers. I think it's Fred Meyers. There's a bunch of land out there that's available. Are we counting land that currently is in the UGB and exists?
Yes. So the analysis that was initially done, both in the Urban Growth Report and the Johnson study, looked at forecasted need and then looked at what's available. Mm-hmm. And there was a buildable lands inventory done by Metro that accounted for vacant land, redevelopable land based on certain criteria that inventory was given to each of the local jurisdictions to review. And it's not expected that it was 100% correct, but it got to a good estimate. And if anything, it really was very generous about estimating the redevelopable lands. It may have overestimated them. So any vacant land in that area should have been accounted for already in that supply and demand reconciliation, which in the Johnson report showed that there was still a need for an additional land.
So not redevelopable land, just empty, vacant. So McLaughlin Boulevard was considered in that study?
Yep.
Whichever parcels met the criteria that were put in there for redevelopable.
Okay.
Or if they were flat out vacant.
No, let me say something about traffic. This region has disproportionately invested into mass transit, specifically light rail, given up the Mount Hood Freeway, the Western Bypass, and now we're starting to really see, I think it's exacerbated itself in the last year specifically, lots of congestion. I'm not willing to say we're so full of transportation we should draw the line and say we can't develop because, hey, drive the Columbia River to the Rose Quarter sometime or drive 205 from Oregon City north after 2:30 in the afternoon. We cannot, you know, zip it up simply because there is congestion, because that's the way Metro wants it. So we'll quit being selfish SOV drivers and jump on mass transit. So we're going to have to live with that. Hey, if transit or traffic itself is a measuring stick, then Wilsonville should be done, because you try it at anything 2:30 on going south and in the morning going north, and it's locked up. It's too tough to navigate. Paul.
So I just want to just speak to, you brought McLaughlin Boulevard up a couple times, Commissioner, and I don't, there's no really large lot. I mean, sure, I think it's prime for redevelopment, but as far as the Johnson study, that was 25 acres and above, primarily, I believe, as far as looking for lots, as far as that recommendation. And there just aren't, it's just the nature of that boulevard. Redevelopment, sure, but as far as being some big employment center that's got high-paying jobs for manufacturing or some of our target areas and our traded sector areas, I don't think there's a lot of that. It's more, I think, North Main Milwaukee or north of Milwaukee, that industrial area, that's got some large lots that could indeed become that. So
not 25 acres.
Pardon?
Not 25 acres owned by one person.
Well, I'm just talking, that's the depth of the, this, the, if you look at the commercial strip along McLaughlin, it's very shallow.
Yeah.
They're 100 to 200 feet deep for the most part.
Yeah. So you're saying this study is about 25-acre lots and more?
Well, the Johnson, I was looking at Dan for, but I thought when he presented that study that they were focusing on acreage, not 1-acre lots, 2-acre lots, because that's primarily what McLaughlin really is.
Dan?
That's what they looked at 25 acres and plus and called it a large lot. But the point of their study, and I think that what the board sort of in step two reconciled with, was we have a really wide variety of need for employment land, including some large lot, but business and professional services. There's a whole wide variety of things, including some large lot.
I'm going to give the floor to you, but I think we have to get back on task. And Kirsten, we really appreciate you attending. You might be able to say something here in a little while.
That's what I was going to say. I think we're trying to get real anxious and get in the queue and lay down our ground. I think we need an entire presentation, and then we can move on, because you know what? It's almost 5 minutes till 11, and we're supposed to be done with this and make a decision by 12 o'clock.
Yes. So, Martha, you doing a handoff to Dan?
Okay. Well, I just want to make sure we wrap up the discussion about that we started into on the process, right? So process one is, let's assume that we either reach an agreement around Stafford or the county decides to just go ahead with Metro, do the revised findings, and move it forward. That's process one that would involve no changes. And at the end of that process, if it's successful, we'd have reserves, both urban and rural, as designated today.
Right.
And we'll be able to move forward. The other process, the process of changes, I just want to make sure that the board's clear about what it would take. Revised IGA with Metro. You'd have to have a new joint county-metro public process. The rules actually here provide there has to be a specific approved public process with broad notice and opportunities for public comment. They weren't content to rely on the sort of goal one normal public process, whatever that means. I think we'd have to reconsider and reapply the urban and rural reserves factors by the county, so the regional balance. I think all the factors would come into play. In other words, we can't amend the map because we think specifically that it would be a good idea to do so. We'd have to apply the factors for every piece of property we look at. Would require consultation and coordination with both Multnomah and Washington counties. For new urban reserves, the rules require coordination with cities, special districts, and school districts that might be expected to provide urban services, so they would have to be in the loop, consulted and coordinated with. Not necessarily yielded to, but certainly coordinated with and brought into the process. And then at the end of the day, a new joint submittal between Metro and the county to LCDC, and then the appeal route that we've been living through for the last 5 years. So make sure that that's, the board knows that's the process that we would have to go through to make changes.
Is there a Vegas rating on this possibility of this happening?
Yeah, there's got to be some money in there somewhere. Paul?
So getting back to my earlier conversation under that title, changes to reserves and my saying. So number five there, or the first five, the OAR, when it says new urban reserves, is that OAR there in the context of after there's, let's say Washington County has approved reserves, so they would have to follow these rules. But being that we don't have any reserves, and that's why that was the point of me drawing that distinction out earlier on in this session, we didn't do that before when we did the map designations. We didn't consult like this before. We didn't have that level of detail. So I'm assuming it's still a clean slate. We're starting potentially with the remand, that rule doesn't apply until there are some official designations. So which is it?
Well, we did do it before. This rule was in place the first time we did this, and the cities were certainly consulted with. Obviously, it didn't go the way the cities wanted it to go in every instance, but they were certainly coordinated with in the process, or we would have heard about it in an appeal. The rule would apply to any new urban reserve. So I think if we were to change undesignated land to urban or rural to urban, we'd have to make sure that we complied with that coordination requirement, which exists in a sense anyway in statewide planning goal 2. So really any changes would have to be coordinated. And I think this just calls out a heightened level of coordination for urban reserves.
So we got to get going with the presentation, so let's do that. Hello.
In terms of the end, our assignment today is two-part. You've been hearing about it, the 20-year supply and also the 50-year supply. The cheat sheet we've been working from is this chart on page 5 in your staff report. Martha just walked you through land inside the EDB, building a total of approximately 700 acres. And existing urban reserves as they are today, 100,000. So the land we've all been calling existing urban reserves, the 155 acres. And then this nuance of the east of Canby potential additional 400. The moving to the right in terms of complexity, Martha reviewed those as well. The satellite area changes east of Canby and Springwater Road. And then the changes, full change to measure urban reserve, French Prairie and Beaver Creek, yielding additional total over 4,000 acres there. So on the 20-year supply, after any additional remarks commissioners would like to make, could we consider this, where to find the 20-year supply, the 1,100 acres that you've been finding through staff report, special consultation, your own deliberations that the county needs to do?
Well, according to that chart, we need to approach that, I think, separately. And so Borland, Oregon City, North Wilsonville, et cetera, that's kind of the low-hanging fruit in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then approach the next one, because the votes may be different from this commission on different ones.
Yeah.
In fact, they will be, probably. And then the inside the UGB, Damascus, North Milwaukee deserves a separate discussion, and then, of course, east of Canby currently, and then the big, hairy, audacious goals to the right. Certainly, each one of those could be done absolutely separately, too. So we should probably subject to your recommendation here, talk about that one, that column first. Paul?
So I was going over the staff presentation, and her question was, I think, the first bullet, right? So with that, can you better define, Dan or Martha, the meaning and as it applies to 1011 with regard to the 20-year need and the 50-year need? So I think we need to have some context. So
certainly. The question we were asking on the 20-year need was, there's been a lot of controversy about our urban and rural reserves. So the first question we wanted to answer was, well, are the rural and urban reserves configured in a way that we can even, before we ask to change them or not, let's first look and see, can we even meet our 20-year need in that configuration? So that was the first, that's the sort of the origin of the 20-acre need question, because I think if you can't meet your 20-year need, it may be more likely to advocate for changes than if you, than not, right? So that was the genesis of the 20-acre need. It's really it's the county's goal. Can we do that? The reserves themselves, as I said, are designed to meet a 50-year need. Now, one thing to say about that, though, is that there is no legal requirement. There wasn't a legal requirement that the urban reserves independently meet a land need for each county. Right, that wasn't part of the urban reserves calculation, really, at all in any formal way. Obviously, the counties advocated for what was in their backyards or not, but there is no requirement that the 50-acre need be balanced across the region. Multnomah County, for example, has very, very little urban reserves. There's no way, if you looked at Multnomah County independently, that they would have a 50-year supply.
So getting back to that, shall we approach that, the first one there, Borland Road, Oregon City, Northwest Wilsonville. Now, when you speak of Oregon City, you're talking about the Beaver Creek area. We have not solicited, nor have we received feedback from our citizens participation organizations and or the villages. So, you know, I would emphasize that this is a bit tentative in a sense because we want to hear from partners, et cetera. Jim?
So what we're asking for is what is current, what we're talking about right now is what is currently in the reserves, the urban reserves.
Okay. Or the map, right? Or the map.
You're actually
the map.
We're asking. So right now, what we're talking about is not a change to the map.
That is correct.
That left-hand column,
that's
correct.
Right. Everything to the left.
Well, really, it's that, isn't it?
Meaning, can you meet and should the county continue to invest in serving employment land inside that area, looking for affirmation that land is available? The county should continue to invest in infrastructure to serve those areas and bring jobs online in the short term. So thinking a little bit in terms of short term, if you will, in the 20 years, certainly because we're only planning short term need as opposed to looking out on challenges that may be more difficult, maybe longer to bring in and serve infrastructure water.
Well, Jim had asked about inside urban. Now, yep. You'd waved your hand there to east of can be included in that. It cannot because it's not, you know, I think the line
right,
should be.
Sorry,
yeah.
That's right.
Yes.
Little,
thank you.
A line there.
Thank you.
So
yeah, Tootie, go ahead.
Well, I favor Borland. I don't know how we're going to serve Oregon City if that makes any difference to anybody. And does Northwest Wilsonville want to be included, or does it matter? And, Mr. Chair, are you looking for a motion?
Yeah, I think
okay, I'll make a motion
okay.
That we include Borland Road, Oregon City, Northwest Wilsonville, and move your hand, please,
yep.
Into the 455 acres.
All right, is there a second? I'll second it.
I'd like to clarify the maybe amend the motion.
Well, we can try that. We've got a motion and a second for Borland Road, Oregon City, Northwest Wilsonville to confirm that is something we would like to see develop. So, Paul?
Well, I think, I don't know how I would word it, but basically what I'm trying to say is I think the motion should we leave the Borland Stafford 4A, B, C, and D as is? And that's what I'd like to vote on.
No, I think he's still...
No.
Well,
no,
the motion is right here.
I'm not sure what
you... Well, I understand, yeah, but, yeah, I mean, basically the map, the urban reserves that are currently urban reserves within, that are on the map, adjacent to the UGB, we're leaving as is. That's really what the motion is, right?
Well, Paul, yeah, it's really what the motion is. When you throw in 4 A, B, C, and D, we don't have reference to that on our maps today, nor are they up there. So I think that's a little bit confusing.
Well, I think people are already confused. I know that some constituents out there want to know where we stand on those. And I think as far as, if we got Borland on there, and yet in the staff presentation it says other than negotiations on the Stafford area, so I'm assuming when we say that on bullet number 2, other than the Stafford area, that's going to be S4, A, B, C, and D, right? So your motion now includes that, where the staff presentation excludes that. So which is it?
Well, if I can clarify my motion, I can restate it if you want to be clear on it. I move that we include Borland, which is 260, Oregon City, which is 70, and Northwest Wilsonville, which is 125. Now, if you want to throw other land designations in there that somebody else has said, I don't have clarification in front of me. My motion is very clear, and I believe it's been seconded.
So a clarification, then I'll get to Martha. The 260 acres, is that just from the Tualatin River to I-205, or does it include the Tualatin River up to Rosemont?
It would be Tualatin south to 205, and that would be the amount of developable land.
Right.
The whole area there is around 400 acres, but with the constraints, it's generally deemed it's around 260 developable.
Because it's steep and it really can't be developed.
Yeah. From the, just if it might be helpful, I think in that first column, the reason we sort of put it there independently was to really ask the question, is the board okay with just counting that, those three things, as part of our supply?
Yeah.
In other words, are there any problems or questions of sort of counting those as our part of the calculus of our employment land?
20-year. Martha.
So what I'm trying to clarify is it is that one section of Stafford, and then we're moving forward with a conversation with our three cities, and also with presentations of all the other folks who are involved, who have been involved with that, with presentations to talk about how that the rest of that triangle will move forward. So what we're really specifically, which is I think is what you were saying, Commissioner, you're saying, are we talking about the whole Stafford triangle or just acknowledging today that Borland is going to be part of the inventory? Right.
Correct.
And that's all we're saying. Borland's going to be part of the inventory. We still have significant conversations to have to get us through a quote-unquote remand with all the parties involved with that.
Yep.
Okay.
Jim.
So we're talking only employment land in this specific column.
Well, yeah. Correct.
Because I think, Paul, that you're asking, in the urban rural reserves, the Stafford Triangle included both employment and housing, which I support with continued discussions. But, I could agree that, this column for industrial lands or employment lands, a much better term, we can agree to that. But I just think it's kind of crazy to start picking this stuff off a map when, the truth is once we get to this certain area, we're going to have to decide, are we going to open this up and start all over? Or are we going to ask to affirm the urban reserve? So I'm not going to vote to support this because the bigger discussion is, are we going to ask to Metro to address the Stafford transportation problems, or are we going to open up the whole process? And I am not interested in doing that. So Paul, it doesn't make sense to piece it out.
Paul. Well, I kind of agree with Jim on this, but I just want to make it perfectly clear. The way this is put together is confusing to me because it says right up there, potential land supply with no changes to reserves. Okay, and I think it's hard for me to say that Borland Road, okay, is that, 4A, B, or C, or D, or how does that affect 4A, B, C, or D? So it's simpler for me, because I understand that, to say,
Stafford.
Borland Stafford, 4A, B, C, and D, leave it alone. And then the cities can, at that point, they can determine whether or not they want to bring it in. All we're doing is a reserves. That's our responsibility. Yeah. So if they say, no, we're adverse to bringing that in, then that's their call.
That's right.
In the UGB, it's the map and the reserves is a responsibility, and this staff presentation is not clear as to really what we're doing here.
Don?
So the way I understand these charts, if our goal is to identify what would be 1,100 acres of employment land to help meet our 20-year need, the way I would understand that first column, that would include Borland, Oregon City, and North Wilsonville, that we can identify up to 455 acres towards that 1,100-acre goal. That's the way to understand it. As you move across the chart, you can identify additional acreage that
right.
we could achieve to be able to reach that 1,100-acre goal for that 20-year supply. That's the idea here. This doesn't answer the question about the details related
right.
to the negotiations that need to be conducted regarding Stafford. But what we can say is when we look at that first column, we've identified 260 acres in the Borland area, 70 acres in Oregon City, and 125 acres in Northwest Wilsonville that will provide to us 455 acres towards our 1,100-acre goal.
Okay, I got a lot of people stacked up here. We might even get through the first column here yet. Tootie.
So if we're not going to vote on this chart, why are we...
What are we doing here?
Yeah, what are we doing here today? I mean, a terrible thought just came through my mind. This whole exercise is bound for failure. If we can't even take the low-hanging fruit of Borland, for crying out loud, people, and fight over it, we all saw the oblong-shaped circle that staff presented to us, and that's what the 260 acres means. We all saw in Oregon City the 70 acres on the map. We all know what that means, as well as Wilsonville. For any of us to say, oh, I'm not going to vote on this because blah, 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 or, you know, I want to include A, B, C, D, E, F, G, I think we should do this and move forward because, folks, we cannot fail today. That is so not an option. We need to vote on this and move forward. If we can't get this first column into the affirmative, Mr. Chair, I'm going to move that we adjourn the meeting.
Paul?
So getting back to Mr. Krupp, as he kind of clarified what we're doing, I appreciate that. So with his rationale for what we're doing here today, I would say that the 260 acres, respective of the executive summary, our 2020 goal and everything else going on, that 260 acres, though we want to see that happen, politically might be highly unlikely. So I'm concerned about actually adding that and making that the sum total of the 1,100 acre requirement, knowing that that's politically challenged. It's unlikely. I mean, maybe it will, but I'm concerned with history being what it is. Yes, let's keep it that way. I would support that we keep it that same designation, but I am not comfortable with calculating that and subtracting it from the 1,100 acres.
I mean, really, if you take a look at this map, these numbers, is there on here that you feel comfortable about? You got North Wilsonville, we're probably good with that. And you've got North Milwaukee. Other than that, there's nothing.
Okay, you're asking me?
Well, I mean, I'm looking at this and, no, I'm not asking you.
Okay.
I'm just going to say, if you look at this chart and you actually make that decision based on that, there's 425 acres. That we're pretty comfortable we could be, but we can't, you know, it's just like I'm not going to build a road because it's going to fill up. I'm not going to not decide on this because we're not going to do it. We got to work towards that. So, I mean, I just think, you know, the greater question here isn't about this. I'm good with those numbers. Should the community accept it? The bigger question is here, are we going to open up the process or are we going to ask Metro to address the concerns in the remand and move forward and go on to the industrial land later?
We will get to that.
Yeah, I know you will.
Don.
One other way to describe this is this really is aspirational. But it's also true that, particularly with regard to Borland, that it's already current county policy with respect to the actions that the Clackamas County Board of County Commissioners had already taken with respect to the Stafford area. So you're working from what has been adopted policy on the part of our existing policy framework. And the issue that prevents us from moving forward to that is the appeal, which requires a negotiation with our cities to resolve. Now, one of the things this body has got to be able to do is to be able to articulate what our position is going to be with respect to negotiating a solution for the remand. And absent direction from the board, we can't even begin to sit down face-to-face with Metro and talking with them about our intergovernmental agreement about how we're going to be able to move forward. So the goal, the idea here is if you believe that we may be able to achieve our employment land goals or a portion thereof by affirming and relying on the 455 acres that are identified in existing urban reserves as they have been adopted by this, by the county, then we would move forward and then move down the chart to look at the next categories.
Oh, I didn't see your little hand.
I think what we're really talking about, if we're including this acreage, it's whether or not the whole of the triangle, with the conversation with the remand, remains an urban reserve. And I think that's where we're headed. However, with the caveat that there are multiple stakeholders in that triangle, and what urban development means, actually, depending on the topography and the negotiations that are worked out, could be quite different, and actually could be a transformative process, in my opinion. Borland Road, I think, in the whole conversation, no matter who you talk to, that is like the one area of agreement where people are all on board with that. And working with the Stafford folk, knowing the angst that they're having, that they would love to have it undesignated or rural, what I've kind of tried to say is just because it's designated that way doesn't mean that we have to do development, quote-unquote, as usual. There are lots of methods out there. There's lots of outside-of-the-box thinking. So I feel comfortable moving forward with this, but I do think that it's going to be likely then that the whole area is, quote-unquote, designated urban. But what that means in terms of what the cities want and what the hamlet wants and what the SLOA wants is going to be a continued negotiation.
Unfortunately, we're not having to take that today.
That's right. And so that's what I'm saying. I see that as a future opportunity, and I'm not willing to keep anybody out of the conversation. I just want to make sure that's clear. When people say urban, it provides a lot of angst, and I'm saying, you know, nobody's going to be excluded, and what we mean by urban, to me, is quite a different thing in Oregon than what we might be talking about in other areas of the United States. So
let's have a vote on this, shall we? Thank you. Caroline.
Commissioner Schrader?
Aye.
Commissioner Savas?
Aye.
Commissioner Bernard?
I'm going to vote no, because I don't think it makes any difference to there's. It's a waste of time to pull things off.
Commissioner Smith?
Aye.
Chair Ludlow?
Aye. Passes 4-1. Next call.
Okay. Chair.
Paul?
Just for clarification, I think I'm going to make my statement here. I probably won't get a second, but I'm going to do it anyhow. I move that we don't include the 260 acres in the calculation because it might be unlikely to reach a solution within the framework of the staff presentation and the 20-year supply.
Is there a second? Okay. Kristen? Oh, yes, Jim.
So there's actually just one motion we need today, which would resolve all these questions. And so I doubt that I'm going to get a response on this either. But I'm going to look to Tom McCall, Senate Bill 100. Tom McCall, a great Republican. And I move we ask Metro to address the Stafford transportation issues and request the LCDC to affirm the urban-rural reserves. I want to add to that is that would include all of Stafford. And all these figures and numbers within that agreement are already in their rural reserves and their urban reserves. So That's my motion, to ask Metro to address the Stafford transportation issues and request LCDC to affirm the urban rural reserve process.
Is there a second? Let's not forget that we have applied for a CET grant, construction excise tax grant, for the studying of traffic in the Stafford area. Certainly there are participants, the three cities, who would love to have us study everything known to man, all every infrastructure need in that area, but we will be at the table with Metro, let's not forget, talking about that very thing. So it'll be addressed soon enough. Yes.
Great, thank you. Well done. Thank you. Making progress. So, Commissioner Milwaukee, I thought Mr. Chair, you were addressing another CEC grant that the county has, which is studying the intensification of land uses in the North Milwaukee area. That North Milwaukee area is inside the UGB. This is just an affirmation of your attention, really. So, in the 20 years, would you agree to include or endorse the western portions of Damascus, adjacent to Happy Valley, and the North Milwaukee area, which would add an additional 700 acres. And as you know, Steph's been quite clear about researching infrastructure, willingness, and other aspects.
Paul, my earlier point about my concern about adding the acreage, because if you add the 455 plus the 700, we have 1,145 acres. Someone could say, geez, our work's done, let's just go home.
Well, the 20 years, but not the 50.
This is all in the 20-year premise. The Johnson study was a 20-year need. So my problem with that is that what's really likely, number one, by our 2020 goal and by the 20-year goal, what's likely to take place? And so I'm okay with that, but I'm not okay with adding them together and say our work's done or it's 1,100 acres, because too much of that is unlikely in that time frame.
Can I make
That's
a
what's
comment
wrong.
On that?
And let's get Martha first.
Okay, so here's what this is enabling us to do, and Commissioner, I do understand your angst, and you have been a champion of making sure that this county has a really acreage for employment land. If we can get through this, this will give us some clarity of where the infrastructure investments need to happen. And so for me, when I look at it, it's kind of like a first things first. Okay, if the triangle with Moreland, for instance, needs traffic infrastructure, we'll know that. Damascus, we call it Damascus, it's likely Happy Valley. Since I've been here, we've been done tremendous infrastructure investment with the roads out there. Okay, and you can see that. And I remember when that was still relatively rural and that whole Sunnyside expansion and the work we did up to, I want to say, 217 has, I think, helped make some of that likely. And then the whole North Milwaukee piece is really going to be driven by land aggregation with a willing partner with the city of Milwaukee and willing landowners, as well as opportunities that we've looked at, because of light rail, with the connection to OHSU, OMSI, the connection to Otrati, which is kind of all along that line, and moving people back and forth and maybe having an opportunity in that area as entities need to expand, such as OHSU, maybe OSU, we don't really know, that we're ready for that. And so that kind of has an infrastructure already in place as well. So to me, this is infrastructure investment and water and sewer, and it helps us focus on first things first. So that's how I'm looking at this exercise. I truly believe the Stafford area is going to take additional conversations, because people, it really is all going to come down to what the design is and what urban really means, what rural really means, and what urban-rural interfaces really mean. But that area and what we're doing here will really enable us to see where those investments start to be made, because that's the key hurdle we have, is not only the land, but the infrastructure to serve it. So.
Judy.
Well, my opinion of this is we're not limited to 1,100 acres.
No,
we can certainly go beyond that, and so I don't think that we should say that, oh, we decided on 1,100 acres and we're done, our work is done. It's not. I mean, I fully intend to continue out to the full chart on the paper today, and Mr. Chair, I move that we include Damascus of 400 acres, North Milwaukee of 300 acres, inside the UGB, or whatever it is we need to do.
right. Is there a second? Again, I'll second for at least the purpose of discussion here. Jim?
Well, actually, I was interested in a motion that Clackamas County did meet its aspirational needs in the first two categories, because that's actually was our aspirational need, desire, and we did. I mean, if these, whether they're challenged or not, they're still aspirational, and you can move on to the next one and say, yeah, that's aspirational. But all none of these require opening up the whole process again. So, Clackamas County has met its aspirational needs in the first two columns. Because if we want to change our aspiration, let's do it. Our aspiration's 2,000 acres. Let's make that our aspiration.
I'm struggling with what we're doing here. Just not things just aren't gelling together. They don't make a lot of sense. Bullet number one: can Clackamas County meet its 20-year need for non-retail employment land within the current configuration of the urban rural reserves? Right, and then the Johnson study is something completely different than that. So, what's our target? Is our target meeting the 1,100 acres the Johnson study says, or is our target here today establishing what's urban reserve or what's undesignated or what's rural? And I'm trying to make some logical conclusions. So, Tootie, if you didn't put the math in your motion, I'd probably say I'd be supportive of it. I would have seconded the motion, but we're going back to the math, and how does the math relate to the first bullet or our 2020 clock or our year 2020 goal?
Let's not forget that staff met with each commissioner separately before this meeting about what would be contained in here. Let's not forget that Washington County lost 2,000 acres. We were told we're going to get a piece of that. Damascus is disintegrating, 4,200 acres there. The Stafford area is 4,700 acres. The Norwood area is 2,600 acres. And I talked with the regional chairs and mayor's group here this last week in a closed-door session and reminded them that they've only designated 27,000 future urban reserves. And that total there is almost half of that is gone. So I have no problem at all with saying, heck with the 1,100 acres, we should go on with that. Because there are some of those acres that are challenged. And so some of it will never be developed. And let's not forget that boring, that's foundation farmland out there. And they say that that'll develop someday when pigs fly. Besides that, without Damascus in between, it might develop, but it'll be part of the city of Gresham, unfortunately. So, I have no problem going with more acreage. Now, if somebody wants to make a motion to amend to put better math in there, that's fine. But again, we went over these numbers with staff. Each one of us did. If we have any problem with the math, we probably should spell that out now.
Well, I just want to...
We do have a motion on the table for the Damascus and North Milwaukee area. Concentrating your county's energy on finding the employment land again in the short term. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. That's what it is. Yes, Paul.
So I just want to clarify that when you referenced us meeting with staff on those one-on-ones, I spent an hour and 20 minutes or an hour and a half with that, and I had some of these same questions, so I didn't get to the same closure. I didn't have the staff presentation in front of me when we had that, nor did I see how this is going to be framed. So I didn't have an opportunity to say, hey, this makes sense. Let's assemble the staff presentation this way. It was really about what Martha presented, which I think she did a fine job, and what Dan presented. So I don't have a quarrel with that, but as it relates to process here today and understanding what we're really doing, that wasn't part of that one-hour session.
Well, how else do we get to a resolution on any of this if we don't do it this way?
Well, this is a starting point. I don't see it as an ending
point. Well, I don't see it's an ending point either. Hence, I go back to my statement. We are not limited to 1,100 acres. You know what? We can include everything for the kitchen sink, as far as I'm concerned. I've always been a proponent of that. I've not liked land use planning in the state of Oregon. It's just wrought with problems every time you turn around. But there is a motion on the table, and Mr. Chair, can we vote?
Yeah, unless there's a specific discussion about the motion itself, I'd say it is time to vote. Caroline. Anybody? Caroline.
Commissioner Bernard?
I'm not interested in pulling out pieces.
Yes or no?
I you know, you make comments all the time.
Well, it's
and
yes or no,
so
Jim.
The answer is no. So I was going to tell why I voted no. I'm not interested in pulling out pieces of this for discussion when actually the whole question is the last part, and it's just like smoke and mirrors.
Okay, there's a no.
Okay. Commissioner Schrader?
Aye.
Commissioner Savas?
I got my reservations. Aye.
Commissioner Smith?
Aye.
Chair Ladlow?
Aye. Passes 4-1.
So I'm going to try one more time. I make my move that we not use the math of the acreage for this exercise in this format. I mean, I think we have to at some point, but we have to use that as a calculation. But if we're going to use that as math to make a decision, and with all that, again, unlikeliness of a lot of those, a lot of that property that's on there, the unlikeliness to do with that in that time frame is high, that we can't use that for the math.
I mean, so would you like the word approximate in front of them?
Well, no, not at all. But we know that the acreage relates to the area that was considered. I think that's accurate. But to use it as a computation, knowing that it can't, you know, it's not all going to add up. That's not going to relate to the Johnson study. I mean, if we relate that to the Johnson study and say, okay, what is achievable by 2020? Let's beat the goal there. It's by 2020, which is just 5 years away, 4.5 years away.
Yeah.
We can't get there. So that's what we have to talk about at some point. So it's the here and now. It's the reserves. It's what those are. What's the potential is. I agree. That's a potential of what those acreage. That's a valid number for the potential that it could be.
That's right. And you're right that any time you're planning, property's already netted out for slopes and infrastructure.
Martha?
Oh, well,
I'll get you.
In terms of the Canby piece, that makes sense to me, and largely because they have done a phenomenal job with what they already have there. In terms of the transportation infrastructure, I had an interesting conversation with Pioneer Pump that actually liked locating there because there isn't, as much as people might perceive that there's a traffic constraint there, actually they're saying they get in and out so quickly that it's a secret. I probably shouldn't be mentioning this. They don't want anybody to know about it. And it's already an area where I think that they've shown some success, and it would make sense to me if there is a willing city to move ahead with part of with that. Yeah.
That land is already undesignated.
Yeah. So we want to make it urban reserve?
It might be helpful to go back to that. I mean, the questions that we asked at the start, the big questions, and where we're trying to end up. I apologize that the framing hasn't seamlessly led us there, but I don't know. I'm not sure whether we could have had a framing that would have seamlessly led us there. So the three questions at the start. One was, can Clackamas County meet its 20-year need within the current configuration of urban and rural reserves? So some of this discussion is sort of aimed at that question. But that question leads to the next question, and it's probably the big question. Other than negotiations regarding the Stafford area, we all recognize that's in play, should Clackamas County advocate for changes in the current configuration of urban and rural reserves? So question one, should we advocate for changes? And if so, what changes? So when we started this four-step process, those were the questions that we intended to answer. So I'm a little concerned. We're 90 minutes in. I want to make sure that we get the big question back in your minds as we go forward.
So if we were going to advocate for changes, that would be one I would suggest.
That would be one of them.
Yes.
And that is
from rural to undesignated for the east of Canby, the additional 400 acres.
Well, they have an area that's undesignated that should remain undesignated, and that's the area by the river. I know that. By the Dahlia Farm. It's undesignated now. And they asked us to leave that undesignated, and I stepped out of that conversation. I don't own a farm there anymore, but my family owns a farm there, and so that's fine. But that's a piece of it. But this is on the other side where they have flat land with an industrial area that's already been robust. So that's kind of where I am. With that, if you have a willing city, I think they're on the cusp of having some real opportunities there. That's just my feeling. So,
Tootie?
Well, yeah, I can go either way on this Camby piece. Like you say, the industrial area is already there. This is my issue. We haven't even begun the conversation in our reserves areas where it's prime farmland. Now, I want to have a discussion today about the protection of prime farmland. This area, the 400 acres east, is the most prime farmland in the entire state of Oregon. The topsoil is rich, and areas of Camby is the only areas in Oregon that has 10 feet deep topsoil. Now, if we want to pave over this 10 feet deep topsoil, go ahead and vote on yes on this. We also have not addressed the bigger issue that I see, not so much this chart, and that's the boring Damascus area where there's 2,000 acres out there that is prime farmland. It's they are business. Is it 4,200? Okay.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah. You know, you've got numbers all over the place. So whether it's either 2,000, 3,000, or 4,000, whatever it is. Okay. My issue with that is those are farms, there are nurseries, that is a huge business cluster in Clackamas County. That shouldn't even be in its designation. And we're wasting a lot of time by nitpicking on this chart. If it was up to me, I would have never, ever done this chart. I would have started at the higher issue and then worked our way down through some of these areas, like French Prairie, like Beaver Creek, like Springwater Road that has 1,500 acres that I think, you know, within even 50 years, it would be a big hope to even see that develop. So,
should we take some of these off? Do you want to work from this side and start to take spring water? Do you want to take?
Well, you know, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, we only have 25 minutes left. This is what I do. I want to make a motion. And my motion will state this, that we take the current land that's designated in the boring Damascus area, approximately 4,200 acres or whatever it is, and make that undesignated for the reason that it's saving our prime farmland. Those people over there don't want to develop it. They have no infrastructure. Boring does not want to be a part of Metro. They're trying to get out of it. That's my motion.
So,
Hold on. Is there a second? Now, let me remind everybody. As Tootie said, there's 25 minutes left. Each of the commissioners have put their hand up. They want to talk some more about this. We probably should work through this list today if we have an opportunity to do so. Jim, you're next.
So that would require opening up the process.
How can it goes undesignated?
It's a change in the map. It's a change in the map.
Yeah.
That's the problem. And that's the question we need to get to. Simply this. Do we want to open it up or not? We can ask to affirm the urban reserves, or we can say, let's throw out the baby and start all over. That's the truth.
Paul?
That's a can of worms. But
yes, it is.
But I think we should talk about that. So I'm going to get back to what I agreed a lot with what Tootie said. And I don't want to be, and you said earlier, you mentioned Tom McCall, okay? I don't want to take out productive farmland out of use and pave over it. I'm not sure any of us really want to do that. So I agree, and I think that's what Tootie's comments were along those lines. So I have reservations about the Canby piece, and I would have seconded the motion, because I believe in the motion that Tootie made up to a point, and that... Jim, it is a map change, okay? But to me, if we take that out, I'm okay with taking it out as long as we backfill it with something else. And if we don't backfill it...
Okay, I can change my motion. but I think it's a two-step process. First, we take it out, then we look at what we put back in. So how would you like me to change the motion?
We have other commissioners lined up here now.
Who seconded the motion?
Nobody's seconded the motion.
That's what I'm working on as a second.
But let's be cognizant of the fact there's still one more commissioner that wants to say something before I'll give the floor to somebody to make a motion. We've had that round as we go. Paul, are you done?
No, I wasn't done.
Go ahead.
So I would like, I'll reframe the motion then, because this is really my comment, really concern about how we're doing this. I said that already enough times today. I'm just don't think this is really comprehensive enough. But so my motion would be to take the urban reserves in the Boring area, which I believe is about 4,000 acres, and consider that part of the consideration for a change.
Consideration of what? I don't understand, Paul. Can you be more specific?
Consideration of a change of the designations to undesignated or rural reserve, really, because I don't know exactly if all 4,200 of that acres is actually prime farmland. So without that information, let's say that 1,000 of acres of it is prime urban reserve land, or it's prime for that, and it's not foundation farmland or high-quality soil. So if it's not high-quality soil, I don't want to take something out of that
equation.
Well,
then make the motion to make it.
Well, my motion was to consider it.
Well, consider, that doesn't make sense to me, I don't think. It doesn't get us anywhere. It just says we're delaying it so we can think about it. The word consider doesn't mean anything. I would be willing to go with you on this. But
how about if I change the word to study?
How about if we let Martha talk?
It's okay.
We're sliding through this. You guys can debate whatever motion might fly, but let's get to Martha's comments and we can get on with this process.
Okay,
Martha?
So just one comment. I do have a 12:30 meeting that I have to go to because it's renegotiating or looking at our workforce. So it's at 12:30. I can be here till 12:15, but I am going to have to go. This is an important piece of what we do in the county, so just want to let people know that. The reason I looked at the Camby piece is that really when you look at their situation at this point in time, they are surrounded by prime farmland no matter which side that you look from. And as I said, from their urban growth boundary now out to the river actually is also 10 feet of soil, which is prime farmland that's currently being managed by the Monocucos and the Dahlia Farm and hops on the Three Rivers Farm area. So it is prime, but it's been left undesignated. So that means that if it's undesignated, it is the last piece that's brought in. Other pieces that are designated as rural reserve, there's a lot of hurdles to getting something undesignated into that. The reason why I looked at the other side of Camby is because they have already, even though it's on prime farmland, which I believe is really hard to, I feel the pain there, but they have already established an opportunity there that an additional land would still maintain what they have further out, but it would give them an opportunity to build on what's already there. I really feel very, very sad about the fact that it's farmland. Unfortunately, in some of these areas, that's the kind of decision we have to make. And I talk as someone who actually farmed for 30 years, too, and it doesn't make me feel good, but they're pretty much hemmed in. If you look at what's happened, they have one area that's undesignated towards the river, and then the rest of it is all rural reserves. So the issue is, where do they grow a jobs base? Where do they grow their housing? More than likely, the area that's undesignated towards the river would end up housing, I think, longer term. But I think if we're looking at for a city that is poised to have that opportunity, it's there. So I just wanted to explain why I said what I said.
Motion on that portion?
No, I'm not going to make any motions today. I'm going to leave that up to you guys.
Nice.
Just saying.
Don?
So one of the things I want to make sure we're thinking about here, and of course a little later on today, Dan and I and Nate Boderman are going to be traveling up to Metro to begin talking through the logistics of the discussion to take place with the three cities in Metro and the county over the Stafford remand, or working on the details of that. And, you know, part of that will be what we mean by defining a scope of the remand, which will need to be reconciled and agreed to in the very first item that Mr. Chandler has identified on page 3 of his memorandum to you, which talks about what happens when we make changes to the reserves. And so as we're thinking through the different options and opportunities, I mean, we started this conversation thinking about what it is we would do to meet a particular goal in the way of adding areas that would be available for employment lands. The moment we begin talking about trading off areas, suggesting that there are areas currently designated in a particular way, one of the very first things we're going to encounter is the very first item that's on that list, and then take that issue down every one of those 7 particular steps. The larger the scope and scale of the trade-offs and changes, the larger the scope and scale will be the work effort that needs to be done that's identified here on page 3. I want to make sure we're really clear about that, because the first step is going to be having an agreement on the intergovernmental agreement with Metro about what the scope of the remand is actually going to be.
Paul, oh, go ahead. Did you want to say, we're going to get a word in it, but
if you did want to vote on the Canby-East of Canby, that would probably be a smaller scale opening.
Yeah.
And then the parallel, Damascus boring out and then further down the road. So I don't know if commissioners want to take them off in chunks or do a full open up, shall we open up the reserves? And if so, these are the things we look at.
Good point. Paul, then Tootie.
So, Don, I responding to your statement, I thought really through this last year, which I agree has been, maybe you didn't say this, so I'll just say it, so there's no agreement, I'll take the word, but it's been a crazy year because we have just been all over the map, and I haven't figured out why, and I'm not referring to that map. But I thought there's a foregone conclusion.
That
we would, that was a foregone conclusion that we've been making changes to reserves, because we asked for, I went to LCDC and we asked for a remand, and then it wasn't wide broad enough because we knew we wanted to make changes, and then we got our remand, so it was a foregone conclusion we make changes. Otherwise, why did we ask?
So the question will be is how broad and how large a scale is our ask with respect to a remand. And keeping in mind that whatever we do, we will have to find cause for agreement with Metro in the intergovernmental agreement. So it's a bilateral conversation that takes place there. And in fact, when you look at regional factors, Multnomah County may also have an opportunity or responsibility weighing in on that particular question as well. So I'm just wanting to make sure we know the scope and scale of the challenges we will face as we make the conversation larger. If we're talking about removing large areas out of what are now classified as urban reserves and then finding large areas to trade in, we're going to have to walk that conversation through all 7 steps here that's identified on page 3.
So just a quick follow. Then on that, the first bullet, we should be voting on the first bullet. The first bullet is, can Clackamas County meet its 20-year need for non-employment, non-retail employment land within the current configuration of urban reserves? If the answer is no, we cannot, then you have your answer that opens the door. That's what you go to Metro with.
Tootie?
Don, I take exception. I think we have a different point of view on this, and I appreciate what you're trying to do here today. I really do. We seem to be at an impasse. If we take out the boring Damascus piece, I don't think it's up to us to immediately substitute for another thing. I think we need to make the statement that that is prime farmland that should be protected as such, not developable. When we take it out, then we go to Metro, we sit down with them and say, well, together, can we get to someplace? And, you know, we haven't even identified the other things. And then on page 3, we referred to those 5 bullet points, and then 4 and 5 is repeated. We have to do that anyway. This is nothing new. Whether we vote on anything, we're going to be at at the table, revising the IGA. We're going to have a joint public process, and to assume that we're going to open everything up, it's already opened up because we haven't voted to approve the map. So I think there's a lot of assumptions that have been set today that aren't true in this process. But I think this step can help us get to where we can tell Metro something. We can tell Metro, that ruse of an urban reserve out in Damascus and Boring, we know what that is. In fact, it was Clackamas County that put that part in urban reserves. It is this board in Clackamas County that can take it out, and we do not need a replacement for that. And I'm going to make another motion. I'm going to move that Clackamas County remove the Damascus Boring piece out of its current designation and make it undesignated without a substitution, and then we go to Metro and sit down on the table. Where can we go?
Is there a second? All right. The next one to speak is Jim.
Well, I still think you have to apply the factors. You can't just pull it out. And any of those changes will require opening up the process, and that is not an assumption. That is a fact. And we could simply move on, make our determination that we do need industrial land, ask that we affirm the urban rural reserve process, and then we got 3 years to play with this, fool around, and get the information we need, and then try to sell it at the legislature. That's really the only way we're going to get it.
Yep, pretty much.
So get this behind us. Move on to the legislature to get what we need. But I can tell you, Metro's not going to say, all right, let's just change this. Let's not apply the factors. Every time we do that, not apply the factors, we hear from people, oh, you didn't apply the factors. Let's open it up and start all over, see in court.
Can we adjust my motion? There's a motion on the floor. I would like somebody to be able to...
I asked for a second. There wasn't...
Paul?
Well, I'd like the floor before I give it to Paul. Unless there's a second, I'd like to give myself the floor. You know what? We have 3 years right now. Why is that? Because Metro has decided not to expand the urban growth boundary. We have 3 years now. I appreciate the fear and loathing behind changes to the reserve, but we got 3 years. And Metro has said it didn't matter a lick whether the maps were approved anyway. They would not have expanded the urban growth boundary. So we got at least 3 years from right now. The only city in Clackamas County that asked for an expansion was Wilsonville. And for a long time, Wilsonville was blaming us for that. Well, again, it's Metro that makes that decision, and again, they've said whether the maps were confirmed or not, they weren't likely to expand the urban growth boundary. So we got 3 years and more from right now. It's a six-year process, as Mr. Chandler has explained. They've agreed to shorten that, and there's some disappointed cities in other counties because of that decision. So, Paul?
So I'm going to make a motion, but I'm going to try to explain the motion. So the motion will be basically what you're trying to get to, but I think that we need to study and consider it and then negotiate, not just take it out, that it's backfilled.
So, second.
Okay, so here's my motion.
Wait for it.
I motion to direct staff to study and consider the Damascus Boring Area Urban Reserves for removal or change of its designation.
Second.
All right, motion made by Commissioner Savage, seconded by Commissioner Smith. So the clarification I need is that removal or change, but if there was a removal or a change, there would be no replacement area in Clackamas County, nor would there be a demand to do so?
Well, that my intention was that it would, that we would there'd be something we would negotiate. But right now, the motion is a study and consider. And then we would, as a group, figure out how we negotiate that or barter for that or backfill that land. That would be the intention.
Caroline,
mm-hmm.
You got that.
Is that part of your motion? Is that part of your motion? Is your motion simply to study and consider the message point for removal or change?
Correct. That's all.
With the intention that you move on, but that's not part of your motion.
Correct.
Let's see what Caroline has, because we're going to vote on it, and that'd be part of the record.
Okay. What I have is, Commissioner Savas moved to direct staff to study and consider Damascus boring urban reserves for removal or change of designation.
And again, that doesn't... I appreciate the word negotiation there, but I don't want to lose any more than we're already losing here. And, you know, that means if we're taking something away, I'd like to have a replacement. Jim?
So my issue is, when are they going to do that between marijuana studies? And what about the five-year plan to look at the ZDO stuff? The other thing is that I disagree, John, about we've got all the time in the world. I don't think we do. We have people who have been waiting decades for things to happen, and the problem is we're continuing that long, torturous discussion when we should be down in the legislature, you know, putting this behind us and moving down the legislature, and if we can get help from them, great.
That's a big if.
Yes. Jim, the point of the matter is we do have 3 years, period, at minimum 3 years. So I appreciate the other workload we put on our staff. That's certainly understandable. But we do have 3 years, no matter what anybody says. And I don't see anybody but Wilsonville knocking on our door saying, you know, we need this property annexed. We need this property to go urban, in urban growth boundary. I don't see anybody knocking on the door on that. There's only one city, as I pointed out. And, you know, I have not heard from anybody else, any other city who said, hey, we need this badly right now. So, yeah.
Vote on this one.
Yep. Yeah, we have a motion.
Well, eventually. We still like to talk things to death here. All right, so Caroline, repeat the motion one more time so I can understand it.
Okay. Oh, here it is. To direct staff to study and consider Damascus boring urban reserves for removal or change of designation.
All right, everybody understand the motion? Everybody ready to vote? Mm-hmm. Caroline.
Commissioner Schrader?
No.
Commissioner Bernard?
No.
Commissioner Smith?
Aye.
Commissioner Savas?
Aye.
Chair Ludlow?
Oh, this is rare. For right now, I'm going to say no. So it fails 3-2.
Mr. Chair?
Yes?
I would like to move the discussion ahead because we only have, I don't know how many minutes, to talk about one area that we have not talked about, and that's 1,800 acres in the French Prairie area. When I looked at that map that was presented to by staff, I says, you know, that isn't even in the realm of my thinking. 1,800 acres in French Prairie. And again, I make the argument of prime farmland. You go down Airport Road, and to the east of that is hundreds and hundreds of acres of prime farmland, including our... what do you call it, NRAC Center for Experimental Station for Agriculture. You would want to include that. And then you cross and you go to the west, where we're bordering on Yamhill County on Boone's Ferry Road. You go out there, there's huge prime farmland I would not to see. But you know what? There is some developable acreage there. There have been bills in the legislature to do it. There is interest of property owners to have that developed. And I want to make some statements about that, and then I'm going to make a motion. And this is the statements of 630 acres, and you've seen it on the presentation on your materials here today. And I think there's a lot of been misstatements made about that property. For instance, water. I think it can be supplied with water. Wilsonville is going to currently expand their water system, by the way, south of the river to Charbonneau. I don't see how that is an issue. Aurora Airport currently gets their water from the city of Aurora. That could be expanded just not very far up the road. And employment land, you don't need additional huge sewer operations. It can have self-contained systems. Irrigation, the sewer that you have that from industrial land can be applied to the irrigation of greenlands around the property. And the transportation, to me, this is the biggest selling point of that 630 acres is the transportation. Yeah, we know there's I-5 there, but did you know there's an additional, and I drove that this weekend, there's an additional seven roads in the area that can support that, Airport Road, Elan Road, Miley Road, Butteville Road, Arndt Road, 99E, and Oregon 51.
551,
thank you. Also, it's supported by a railroad. I was kind of surprised in a recent analysis that we got. It's by the Union Pacific Railroad. It runs north and south. It has a short line and a main line. And when you talk about how we're going to get there, the people that would probably work at those locations would probably come from the south, as housing is cheaper in St. Paul, Hubbard, Woodburn, Aurora, and Cambie compared to what is currently going on in the industrial workers in Wilsonville and Tualatin. So they wouldn't even be using the Boones Bridge Road. Traffic would be coming in the reverse direction. So, you know, to say that the Boones Bridge bridge, which is already seven lanes, to say that we need to expand it further, if we did expand it further, it would be the only bridge in the state of Oregon that's seven bridge. So what I'm going to recommend, my motion is going to be, I move we add 630 acres into the undesignated category with the borders of Airport Road to the east, Boones Ferry Road to the west, Marion County Line to the south, and Miley Road to the north. It's approximately about 630 acres.
All right, there's a specific motion. Is there a second?
A clarifying question.
Yes.
You said east of Airport Road.
To the east. Airport Road is the eastern boundary.
So.
To the Airport Road to the east. So it's really encapsulated.
The Airport Road to the east, Boones Ferry to the west, south to the river, and north to Arndt Road. Is that what you said?
Oh, north to Miley Road.
Well,
yeah, because the river takes in Charbonneau, and it takes out Charbonneau.
Okay.
And then obviously the Marion County boundary to the south.
So I thought Airport Road to the west, not the east.
No, Paul. We don't cross Airport Road to the east because that is prime farmland. Airport Road is the boundary line.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
All right. Motion made by Commissioner Smith, seconded by Commissioner Savas. And let's, again, east, west, east, west. Airport Road is the eastern boundary.
Correct.
Boones Ferry Road is the western boundary. The southern boundary is Arndt Road and down to Charbonneau, which is Miley Road. Okay, that's the specific motion. Further discussion?
Yeah.
Martha,
okay. Then Paul.
So here's the difficulty I have, and I just want to state all the elephants in the room. We have Wilsonville here who has been really more interested in the other areas that they want to develop. And this has been a bone of contention with, I see the owners of the property here as well. And the difficulty I have is, and I've got to be honest about this, and I've said this to the Charbonneau folk, I honestly think that that area being left undesignated would be the better compromise and choice, largely because, as I said, the acreage surrounding property that my children own is kind of in the same thing where there's going to be a significant number of hurdles to actually bring that in. The political difficulty we have is we have a city that has been absolutely, it is not one of their priorities. And we also have folks in the Charbonneau area who have lobbied considerably hard down in Salem to prevent this from happening. I truly believe that there's a good compromise to be had. I am not particularly against anything happening there. I think that if long term, even if we vote yes for this today, and I'm inclined to, which is going to put me on the hot seat, let's be perfectly honest here, there are folks in Charbonneau that will just absolutely be so upset, but I have been consistent that if I had been part of the urban rural reserves, I would have seriously looked at that as being an undesignated parcel. I need to be consistent. However, I'm going to caution everybody that there are considerable hurdles, and unless there is peace made between the folks who live in Charbonneau who have a concern about their quality of life and what anything happening there would mean, and unless frankly, there is a willing city, because we should not be, I will say this right now as a county, doing anything at all to urbanize areas. That really is a city function. So essentially, you'd have to have the city of Wilsonville be willing to move forward with the infrastructure there. So I'm going to vote yes on this, but I'm going to vote yes with the caveat that this can be a poison pill. There's going to be considerable resistance to this. I'm willing to go to the Charbonneau folks and take the heat for what I will receive for this, but I think that it's important to be consistent, and I will make a point of chatting with those folks sooner than later, but they will definitely be up in arms, and I would strongly suggest if we move forward with this as an opportunity to ask that we make sure everybody's at the table. I think this is a similar situation as Stafford. We don't know what it means. We don't know what it's going to be turned into. All the controversy, oh, it's going to be a distribution center. Oh, it's going to be a, you know, we're going to work with the tribes and get, that all needs to be put behind people. And I will caution the folks, if we make it undesignated, I do not see this as happening immediately at all. It is simply actually adding it to the lowest tier of a long-term potential, and it may very well take not 20 years, but 50 years to bring it in. So there you go. Mark, I love you guys. I'll come in and have you guys yell at me, and landowners here, I have been consistent with my message. I would prefer not to see the whole area brought in, but I think that one section could make sense if it's developed with input and appropriately with the folks that live there, so their quality of life is not absolutely destroyed. It would be a beautiful opportunity. So there you go. I have fallen on my sword today. And with that, can we get to the vote? Because I have to go to another meeting.
I got two more commissioners that they swear they'll be short, right? Paul?
Yeah.
12 minutes, okay.
I will be brief. I was just saying that I'm not familiar with all the 630 acres. So my caveat in supporting this will be based on none of that land, I'm presuming, is productive farmland. Because if it is, then I don't support it. So that's caveat number one. I just want to point out Title 11, Section 3.07.1110, that really any kind of urban planning in that area, if it ever happens, is the responsibility of the city, not the county. So the keys are in the hands of the cities in that regard. And again, if this is undesignated, it's a 75% rule, so it's not first to come in. And I want to make sure, the other caveat is that 630 acres is not computed into the 1,100 some odd acres we need, because that's not going to happen anytime soon, unfortunately.
Thank you. Jim?
Well, I guess I have the benefit of having done a lot of this urban-rural discussion and actually applying factors. What I guess the positive thing about what you're talking about is that you have thrown out the factors, and so just exactly what Washington County did, so the legislature will figure it out or the court will figure it out, but you can't just throw out the factors. They were applied. This is not only a poison pill, and thanks, John, it's a nuclear pill. That again, Tom McCall, Senate Bill 100, great governor. He tried to prevent urban sprawl and protected some of the best farmland in the world. And so, whether it's being farmed or a golf course, this is what it's about. I like that golf course. It's a great golf course to also make a great farm. So, I'm going to vote no on this.
Real quickly, you know, I read the report from the Port of Portland that said this is the best developable property in the region. You know, right now what prevents it, let's all understand, if it's undesignated, it would still need the city of Wilsonville to provide services and annex that property. So this great fear about it being undesignated, you know, it's undesignated still means it's a heck of a process to go through. What is the big fear of that? You know, let's also remember, and I was mayor there 25 years ago, and you know, we all had a different idea about that area at that time. This is temporary. This existing Wilsonville Council will not be around should this property ever be developed.
period. They won't be there. And Charbonneau will still be there, but let's not forget Charbonneau opposed the tower at the safety tower, I might point out, at the airport. You know, these things change and attitudes change as they will. But it is extremely short-sighted to not say this is, has great potential in the future, maybe beyond our lifetimes. I'm sorry, Martha, go ahead.
No, no, go ahead.
No?
I just
I want you to get your word in.
Okay. Oh, thank you.
Nice.
Well, that being said, I do think that the folks of Charbonneau need to be an intimate conversation with whatever anything that happens there. And I want to get that on record now, and I don't think anything's going to happen for quite a while. The other piece of this is that from my perspective, as I said, it's a really tough decision, and my notion is, even if we go to Metro with this, and we articulate, well, these are two areas we would like to take a look at and change, there is no guarantee that Metro will say yes, in which case,
that's for sure.
The way I see this, then we have our other positions where no change will happen. But I will tell you, it will be very difficult to approach Metro and have this conversation and get it changed. So even though we want to say this is what our thoughts are, the caveat is that there is a city that I think will be very unhappy with us. I'm not convinced that Metro will be very happy with this as well. So I'm going to strongly suggest that the fallback position be those first three, the areas where there is no change. I'm more than willing to actually present some changes, but I think that there's going to be significant pushback. And you know what? That's public process in Oregon, and people have a right to push back, and I think it will happen.
Do you want to? Yeah, we're about ready for the vote.
So let's just. Okay.
Time for the vote.
Commissioner Smith?
Aye.
Commissioner Bernard?
No.
Commissioner Savas?
Aye.
Commissioner Schrader?
Aye.
Chair Ludlow?
Aye. Passes 4-1. Now, some people would think we kind of rushed through this, and we kind of did. Is there any buy-in for, we actually skipped some areas in here to get to that important one in a timely manner so Martha can leave and everybody has other plans.
I can make it quick.
All right, Paul.
I move we consider the Springwater Road area and the Beaver Creek area for urban or undesignated reserves.
Is there a second?
What was that, Paul? The
I move that we consider the Springwater Road area and the Beaver Creek area for consideration to undesignated. Or
I could go with Beaver Creek on that, but I don't think I can do Springwater.
Is there a second? Yeah, Martha, I understand. Is there a second to it? Okay. I'll just say the number one problem I have with Springwater Road is infrastructure. Water, sewer, and that really crummy little bridge at Carver and that really bad intersection up to Highway 212. So, or 224, I'm sorry. But, yeah, I don't have any problem with Beaver Creek, I guess. Would you shorten your motion to that right now?
Well, I was just going to say that if you actually look at that, the infrastructure is not that far away. And there's not very much land. I'm not suggesting there's 1,500 acres of serve. I'm suggesting there's much less than that is feasible. So if you look at what's closest to the, just past Barton Park, if you look what's close to that is some of that area that's already has some industrial uses right now, there's probably a couple hundred acres right there that's feasible. 50-acre large lots, that's what this is all about. And we don't have it anywhere. We need it. I think that we consider it. We're not actually moving to change that. We're looking to have a staff consider that. Is that correct?
I would ask that we consider another session on this for the purposes of more information on Beaver Creek, Springwater, and boring specifically. So in the interest of time, rather than try to pick a quick vote on this, is that okay with the commissioners that we bring that portion back at a later time?
Yes, I think we should bring it back.
Okay. So, Don, did you have something? Wrap it up.
Just wanted to thank you for this. We do have, coming out of this particular session, direction involving two full columns and the French Road, French Prairie area, a specific proposal there, and then we will schedule some time to complete the discussion regarding the other areas that we've not had an adequate opportunity to be able to go through. So,
Kirsten, I think you've done as best you can in herding cats, and normally, and this is probably the most controversial issue we deal with other than marijuana, thanks a bunch, but I really appreciate your patience in this, and actually did as good as you probably could in getting us to some decision-making, so thank you for participating today. Any other business before us? Otherwise, we are going to recess this meeting until 2 p.m.
No.
What?
What?
You have a tour at
no, we're done.
Oh, excuse
yes,
me.
Yes.
That's a tour of you know what. I'm adjourning this meeting. Thank you very much. I kept thinking.